My name is Leslie Bilodeau, B like in boy, I-L-O-D-E-A-U. Today I'm interviewing Carmen Cook, C-O-O-K, as part of the History 447 project, which is designed to capture the history of the Lincoln Place neighborhood. I'm interviewing Carmen at her residence at 3704 Franklin in Granite City. It is November 18th at approximately 11 a.m. This is tape one, side one. There, now it's recording. Okay, Mrs. Cook, when is your birthday?
March 9th, 1943.
And what was your maiden name?
Ballesteros. B-A-L-L-E-S-T-E-R-O-Z. Like the golfer.
Is that a relative?
Ballesteros. No.
No.
Good.
Okay. How do you know about Lincoln Place?
My mother was born there. And when she married, she had three children, and we visited my grandmother and grandfather. You know, we moved to Alton, Illinois, but they were from Lincoln Place.
And who were your grandparents?
Mr. and Mrs. Cenobio Gonzalez.
C-I-N?
C-E-N-E-O-B-I-A.
Gonzalez.
G-O-N-Z-A-L-E-Z.
Okay. And your mother's name?
Lucy.
And what part of Lincoln Place were your grandparents in?
Olive Street.
Olive Street. So that is, I have a map here that someone gave me from memories of when Lincoln Place was just at the turn of the century, from what I understand. And where is Olive on there? Do you remember who any of her neighbors were, or your grandmother's neighbors, or?
Well,
see, this is Nietering House right here down the middle, and I think this is
probably. Yeah, this was like a community center. Mitzis, here down. Here's Olive Street.
Oh, okay, right there. So you knew the Mitzis, or?
That was a store.
So you played in the neighborhood when you were a young girl,
mm-hmm.
And did you frequent the community center?
Oh, yes. Yes. You know, in Lincoln Place, you learned to dance, get along, play pool, and sing. It was quite good times, happy times.
Was Mrs. Prather part of that organization when you were there? Or?
No.
Because you're quite a bit younger.
Josephine Resnick was there.
And she?
Or Resley. Josephine Resley.
Okay.
Well, she was head of the community center.
And when was that approximately? Do you remember? Or?
Oh, my. I was born in 43, so ever since I was 5 years old, I was all over and down Lincoln Place.
And were there, I know at the turn of the century there were many, many different European immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
I heard from one person that it was named Little Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And was there the diversification?
Oh, yes.
When you were young?
Oh, yes. It was a hodgepodge.
And was that
Potpourri.
Problem for
no.
The kids?
No, no problem.
By the time you were there, most of them spoke
Everybody
English.
Went to the clubhouse and played out in the playgrounds together. Everyone got along.
I heard that.
Quite interesting. Ethnic foods.
Tell me about some of the foods.
Oh, well, from the Hungarians, we've got the spinach pie and the wonderful cookies. And then from the Greeks, the cookies and the meat, the lamb. Well, also from the Hungarians, Armenians. And then the Italians, pasta. grape salads. And the Mexicans, the Mexican food.
How about some family specialties? Any family favorites? Or
in the Mexican?
For your family?
Oh, yeah. With chicken mole, with a chicken with a red gravy, wine-colored gravy, over potatoes. That was good. With beans, refried beans and tostadas.
So did your grandmother cook a lot of food
when
you were young?
And
were there any family holidays that you celebrated in Lincoln Place?
Sure. Cinco de Mayo, 16th of September, and Christmas was always big. And Christmas is a big day with the Mexican people.
Tell me about Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo, and do you have that paper with
you? Mrs. Cook has given me an article that I will be placing with this interview on the highlights of Cinco de Mayo. She is one of the co-authors of the article, but we're going to talk a little bit about some of her work in this tape.
It's a Mexican holiday celebrated with much festivity in the United States than it is in Mexico. But it can be celebrated by both because that ensured their freedom and liberty. Many Americans think of Cinco de Mayo as literally the 5th of May, as the Mexican equivalent of the 4th of July, or a day to commemorate independence. However, it is not the Mexican Independence Day. That event is celebrated in September. So we have two main celebrations, the independence and just a big celebration on May 5th.
Okay. What were they celebrating freedom from?
The Mexicans over the French at the historic Battle of Pueblo, more than 50 years after Mexico declared its independence from Spain. So they commemorate the victory.
In your family line, do you have any stories of why did your grandmother and grandfather come to the United States?
Because they wanted to do better and come to the United States. They just wanted to. And then all their children were born here. No, I'm sorry. My mother was born in Mexico. Yeah, she came here when she was 5.
Wow. And so it was higher wages here or a better standard of living?
Right, right. They wanted a better way of life, which Mexico was a very poor way of life.
So,
in fact, my mother wasn't a citizen.
And when did she become one? Do you remember?
Unless it was just by, what is it, through the government or whatever, she never did go. She never did live long enough. She died when she was 56, and so she never got Social Security, so we never got that far. She had to use that as being a citizen to get it.
And what about your grandparents? The same thing?
Same thing. They were not citizens. But then, that so many years ago, my grandfather got a job at American Steel. So the steel mills, they hired the immigrants because, you know, they're basically better workers. They have a work ethic that's hard to debate.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, in my research, one of the people that I interviewed said that there weren't any cars, so people lived close to where they were.
Right. And Lincoln Place was like that. And American Steel right up the road, 3 or 4 blocks in a 6 mile or a 6 block radius.
Did the women work, or?
Very few women worked at the plants. They would go to other plants like Nesco Barrel, where they made the Nesco ovens, Nesco. The roasters, the old Nesco roasters. Plastics, just things like that.
And so I don't know if at that time women had the same kinds of roles we have now where they work outside the home and they do all the work inside the home
yes.
as well.
The Mexican women were overworked.
Did they grow their own food or?
No.
Nothing like that?
No.
So were there shops in Lincoln Place that had?
Oh yes. Mexican store, an Armenian store.
So what?
Or we could get the goods at both stores.
Oh, you
there
could.
Was two stores, and they sold intermittently things that we each of us needed.
What are some just fond early memories in the neighborhood? Friends or occasions?
A place called Blubby's.
Blubby's.
Which was across from the grocery store, Mitzvah's. And the kids would always congregate and buy candy and ice cream. When the days you could buy chochos. Did you know what a chocho was?
Mm-hmm.
It was an ice cream that you rolled in between both hands, and it would just pop out, and it'd be a malted square.
Yeah.
And it was like malted milk.
Mm.
Delicious.
Yeah.
And we used to get our sodas there and candy. And the old men would sit in there and play cards. But they had a pool table for the older people, for the older children. But we were always allowed to go in and out. And then you graduated from there to the clubhouse, which they had a swimming pool, waiting pool. But everybody called it a swimming pool. But it was a waiting pool. And maybe 40, 50 people at one time sitting there. And then we learned to dance there. Lincoln Place is well known for their dancers. And everybody learned to swing and jitterbug.
I love to swing.
And everybody had to dance the same. If you didn't do it, they would teach you till one was like the other.
That's
and some of the best dancers are from Lincoln Place. And usually, not boasting, but the kids were very popular from Lincoln Place. Not only because of their backgrounds or whatever, but they were likable, sociable, personable. And many a times because they associated Lincoln Place was across the tracks. The parents didn't want their children to go across the tracks. But it didn't worry, it didn't bother the people in Lincoln Place, because in high school they were the most popular kids.
Very
you see?
Athletic.
Very athletic.
Yeah, some well-known athletes.
Oh, yes.
I believe Ruben Mendoza.
That's my cousin.
Oh, it is. Mm-hmm. Now, is he going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame?
He is in the Hall of Fame.
He is in.
In Granite City. But there's talk that he probably will be in the International Hall of Fame. It's in the makings.
That's exciting.
Well, I remember when my cousin Ruben went to the YMCA and started soccer in Granite City. He started it.
Mm-hmm.
Started teaching it from the YMCA with no pay.
Mm-hmm.
And he started 4 teams, 8 teams, 12 teams, 18 teams, 24 teams, 36 teams, until he taught. You know, Granite City went to the state 7 years in a row. You know that, don't you?
I knew they went to state, but not 7 years in a row.
Seven, yeah. They've won 7 state champs. But that's because he taught their kids and their kids and their kids. Yeah, he's to be commended.
What a magnificent legacy.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
The only thing he didn't do is like what most Mexicans don't do, or Hispanics, didn't go to school. If he would have went to school, he could have been the Gene Baker.
Hmm.
You understand?
Yes.
And yet he's reffed. He's what? I don't know how old my cousin Ruben is now. In his 70s. He still refs games. So to be able to be a referee, you have to run. He's in shape. But when he was a little boy and in Mexico, they couldn't afford much, and he would make holes in his shoes from playing soccer.
They didn't have the kind of sponsorship. And
oh, no. And then finally, after 10 years or so, the YMCA kicked in and started giving him like $125 a week or something, or $100 a week, very minimal. But the love of soccer was already there.
So did he support himself other than that job at the Y?
Refereeing all his life.
Oh, he did.
And he at one time he had a sports store, but he wasn't. He wasn't a manager. He was a soccer player.
Yeah.
So he didn't do well. Everybody loved him, and they respect him tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
But he had, you know, his wife said, go to school, go to school. But he never did. So therefore, she didn't work until later years. I think it took her 10 or 15 years to get through school, going at night and
mm-hmm.
the years that she could go. And she's a very intelligent woman. She's a journalist.
Oh,
But Norma Mendoza could have been the editor of a paper. She could write books. Very, very intelligent, very entertaining. She's one of a kind.
You seem very intelligent as well. Have you ever thought of that for yourself, or?
No, but I know I could write, probably.
Yeah.
And in my own right, I have done well.
You have a lovely home, and everything is lovely here. This is a magnificent place.
Yeah.
Tell me about yourself, how you came to know so much about decorating and art, and have you...
Yeah, I've never had a decorator help me. What it is I have to like something very much to buy it, and I'm not one that gets tired of it. If I do, I will give it away or throw it away. In other words, there's something around me, if I buy it, it's because I like it a lot. And ever since I was 16, I've just been like that. I used to buy my mother beautiful things. And when she died, I just, you know, my sister said, just take everything you've given her. And at times, she didn't like some of the things I bought her because they were so ornate or cut out of wood or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yet, she'd put them in the house. So many, many things I've had from young, nothing new.
Some of these items in here seem like they're from around the world.
Yes. I've worked since I was 16 for different doctors. I mean, I've worked for, I mean, maybe 60, 70 doctors because I moonlighted. Many times had two or three jobs to make money. And I would get gifts, and everything on that table there is a gift from a doctor. And after many years, when they got to know me, and those things up there on the mantel, when they got to know me, they realized the things I do like. And I have a room in my house that I collect masks, and I've got, would you like to see it?
Well, I would love to see it. When you're mother was young and your grandparents lived in the neighborhood, was it common to travel outside the neighborhood?
No.
No.
My mother stayed in Lincoln Place, and so did the other people. But don't forget, to get uptown, you had to get out of Lincoln Place. But I mean, everything was pretty well contained down there. They liked living in Lincoln Place, people that lived there.
It seems they still like Lincoln
uh-huh.
Place.
They thought nothing of walking over the tracks to downtown to go shopping. I mean, because there was no buses then downtown to come to Lincoln Place. You had to either get a ride or walk. School buses, I don't even think, went to Lincoln Place.
Everything seems to be pretty close there.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, tell me about the Magyar house, or the Magyar house.
The Hungarian house.
Did that change to the Mexican?
Yes, the Mexican honorary.
Tell me about that.
We bought it for a dollar from them.
Oh, you're kidding.
We bought the whole building for a dollar.
And what was the purpose of buying the building?
Well, the Mexicans needed a recreation hall, so they sold it to the Mexicans. Armenians and the Mexicans remained close.
So what kind of activities went on there?
Many activities. It's not like it is now. We used to have bingo every Sunday, where you'd win bushels of groceries, home embroidery pillowcases, handmade things, vests. You know, I mean, it was just different. And many things were always going on at the Hungarian home and the Mexican club. And then downstairs was a bar, and upstairs was a hall that people used for birthdays. And it was big celebrations in the fiestas in May and September was held there. And many baptisms. It was a very social community, more so than uptown.
And were there customs, special customs in your September and May celebrations?
The fiestas, which we would have Mexican music, Mexican food, a Mexican program. And that's another thing. All the children learned how to dance. We had to be in the programs. Our parents made us.
And did you wear costumes then?
Oh, yeah.
Any particular costume you remember?
Oh, yeah. They were some brought from Mexico and some were handmade. But they kept them over the years and used them over and over and over. and their kids danced, and then their kids danced, and their grandkids danced. They still have it. We still have a fiesta.
So there's a program that's put on of national, of the old customs,
right,
and costume and everything?
Right. Oh, yes. We have big, big celebrations.
Mexican music, is it different?
Yes, it's different. It's a samba, mambo, cha-cha beat, and polkas, but very happy. It's happy music.
Were there any musicians in your family?
Oh, yes. I come up from a very popular family, and there was soccer stars, and my Uncle Joe was a counselor at the high school. He died, and we have a scholarship in his memory that the Mexican Honorary gives every year, 3 scholarships to the high school, and we've done it for 31 years.
And what's his name?
Joe Gonzalez.
Joseph
M. Gonzalez.
Was he married?
Yes.
And how did he come to give the scholarship fund? Why did he do that?
Well, he died in 1967. And so from there, the Mexican Honorary Club, in his honor, formed a committee. And I've headed the committee pretty many years. So we have a dance every March. And we collect enough money and make enough off the dance to give 3 scholarships a year to the high school.
And what kind of criterion for scholarship?
Grades.
So
we get to recommend 2 or 3 people, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not always do they pick them, but some we do get consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to give people a chance, you know, to better themselves. You give somebody $1,000, it's enough for books.
Yeah.
You know, and when you give $3,000, it even helps more.
Oh, absolutely.
So every little bit helps. But we've done this for 31 years without fail. Never, ever failed to make our goal.
Amazing. See, it seems, from my own personal experience, that people who give and people who are generous, it seems to be the same people all the time.
It is. And there's givers and there's takers. And it just depends to what degree when you give makes you a hypocrite. If you're going to give and gripe about it, then you're not a giver. A giver has to give, forget, and go on because it comes back 3 times then.
Do you think any of your philosophy about giving came from growing up in Lincoln Place? Or?
Oh, sure. Because there is a bond that is beyond friendship. I mean, you can go anywhere in Granite City or in the surrounding communities. You see somebody from Lincoln Place, it's like you're back home.
Yeah. I took a walking tour with a man that I, Shondor Toth. I don't know if you know the Toth.
Toth, I do, yeah.
Alex.
Yes.
That's by Alex now.
I knew their daughter. I used to bowl with her. Oh, I can't think of her first name. It's on the tip of my tongue. I can't think of it.
That's okay.
But she was a great girl.
I think there were 2 Toth families unrelated in the neighborhood. But I was down there. We took a walking tour, and people just kept driving by and stopping their vehicle when they saw him in the street. And he could look down the street and recognize that it was so-and-so's daughter or so-and-so's granddaughter.
Oh, yeah.
So you all knew each other
very well. Yeah, very well. And I was from Alton. I've been twice blessed. You know, I grew up and graduated from Alton. But I was in the time when they had the streetcars, when it was a quarter, 20 cents. And on Friday, my mother would put me on the streetcar. And, I mean, when I was even a little girl, they had conductors. I mean, it was a different world than what it is now. And they would drive, or take me to Meeting House Avenue. I would get off and my aunts would meet me or my uncles. Somebody, my cousins, somebody would pick me up to take me down to Lincoln Place.
Oh, that's marvelous.
It was an interesting life. And then in Alton, I had my friends. And in Lincoln Place, in Granite City, I had my friends. I mean, I know as many people from Granite. And I married in 1961, somebody from Granite. So we moved here. So I've been here ever since.
So how did teacher hug?
Well, in Lincoln Place, you know, he was hanging out at Blubby's, or Simone's. They used to call it Simone's, but and Sims, but the kids called it Blubby's, same place, where we got the candy and the ice cream. And I used to see him there, and they had a big, well, it's still there. It's where Planet Granite's at, do you know? Mm-hmm. That big slab of concrete there, we all used to sit there and laugh and have fun and, you know, play jacks. And just, it was just, then you could go out of your house, leave the door open, and your mother say, I'm going to the cleaners, I'm going uptown, I'm going to the grocery store, I'll be back in 3 or 4 hours. And we didn't need babysitters because we had Lincoln Place. It was the truth. He was either at the community center, spinning records, listening to the radio, or playing outside, playing ball, playing tag. Or you was down at Blubby's, sitting outside having a cho-cho, visiting with everybody there, laughing. And or you'd be in the waiting pool. Or, I mean, just, we had things to do.
I heard from another resident of Lincoln Place that there was kind of an understood your elders and the law, and you always conducted yourself honorably, because no matter who you were, everybody knew you, and they all knew your mother.
Oh, yes.
And so.
Yes. And the grocery stores, everybody got credit then, you know. So you would get to go to the grocery store. And, I mean, it was just a different world. I mean, you could stop by Louis Market or Barton's or Mitzvah's and say, I want to have a pound of bologna, put on my mom's bill. Then you and your brother or sisters or your friends would go home, eat it, and then head out back out when your mom's doing her errands. They weren't even home. Hmm. But we didn't need watching, because everybody respected each other. Hmm. It was a different kind of upbringing.
Yeah, it's a lot different than today.
Oh, yes.
Being a newlywed myself, I would like to do a piece of my project on any kind of special custom concerning courtship or weddings or at wedding receptions, any kind of, would you mind telling me about your engagement and your wedding?
Well, it's just mostly big parties when you get married, with the piñatas sometimes. Now not so much as we used to have, or years ago we did. But now the piñatas are just restricted, like for birthday parties. Now, like, I had a party in the backyard, a retirement party for a doctor. So I made a piñata in his face, with his face on it, you know, a picture of his face. And that was fun.
Yeah.
And we had one for the grown-ups and one for the children, which was a lot of fun.
Explain what a piñata is.
A piñata is a papier-mâché product made. We made him in the form of a doctor with scrubs on. And the kids would hit it with a bat, a plastic bat, and it'd be filled with candy and money and toys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you had your...
And it had flowers, a lot of flowers in the church.
Lots of flowers.
Lots of flowers. Much like they do today, you know, but Mexican music.
I'm wondering, is there any special Mexican instrument or anything that
the guitars.
Just guitars? Like
guitars,
a guitar?
And when you have horns, it makes it even more intense for the polkas, which it makes it very nice.
Any kind of special... One man that I interviewed said that at the end of the dollar dance, it was the Hungarian custom that when the man claimed his bride, the dance was over. He would go up and he would grab the hat and he would set the hat down and put his dollar in it, and he would go up and claim his bride, and from then on the others didn't dance with her.
Uh-huh.
Because she was only his.
Yeah, being from Lincoln Place, we were invited to everybody's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Even Hungarians and Armenians, Greeks. It just was one big free-for-all. And everybody loved each other's children. It was just amazing. Even in Alton, I can tell you the difference between Lincoln Place and Alton. I had lots of friends, and I was popular in high school, But yet my heart was in Lincoln Place. Because I went every weekend to visit my grandma and grandpa and my aunts and my uncles, which they were very social, so I used to go to their things. Mm-hmm. And then I knew all the kids from high school. And even the class reunions, I'm invited because I know them all.
That's amazing.
But Alton was a different world. It wasn't like Lincoln Place. You didn't have Simmons. You didn't have the clubhouse. I mean, all you had there was a YMCA or the YWCA. And you lost it there. You didn't have the closeness. You know, and in Lincoln Place, at the clubhouse, we used to embroidery. And just with threads and paints, and we just had it, everything.
I heard somewhere that it takes a community to raise a child.
Oh, yes. I think so. Like in Alton, my friends would say, you know, we love to have you here during the week. Why can't you go with us somewhere on the weekend? Because my heart wasn't there. Because they didn't have the fun that we had here. The camaraderie. It was so far, they couldn't even understand it.
Is there anything else that you'd like to tell me that you remember about Lincoln Place? Anything?
I just remember that there was no difference with people.
With people.
And the places, you know, like you have some people say, you wouldn't want your child to be at a tavern. Well, in Lincoln Place, there was a lot of taverns. There was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 that I can remember right off the hand in a 3-block radius. So many of our grandfathers and our uncles, cousins would be coming out of there. But it wasn't like you were in a tavern. I mean, you wouldn't hang in the tavern. Mm-hmm. But if you went in there, you wouldn't be kicked out. You just couldn't stay more than 3 or 4 minutes or 5. But you could visit everybody, and then you'd have to leave. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the men, when they got inebriated, they were all working American Steel. They had a lot of change in their pockets. They would throw it at us, or we'd just laugh, or they'd say, here's some change, and we were just having fun. It wasn't in a bad
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd just fill up our pockets with change because they had it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd go down to Blubby's and spend it for cookies and candy and soda. But I don't think Blubby sold cigarettes. I don't think he did. So see, it was for the kids. I just don't remember that. But I don't think he did. I think I would remember if he did.
Yeah, that's one difference. I think there's no exploitation of children that I've heard of that's come from the Lincoln Place neighborhood in any way.
No.
They all just kind of work together, but not for
right.
wages, just for I thank you so much for interviewing with me.
Oh, you're
Mrs.
welcome.
Cook. Thank you.